Seated. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It seems as though my wife's prayers have been answered that I'm losing my voice before the Chiefs game instead of during the game. So I apologize. I don't know what's going on. I had a little tickle in my throat last night and I can't get out much volume today or much range. So hopefully people can hear me. If not, we'll have the sermon on the website and you can crank the volume up and hear me better. But today we have an important story that's told only in the Gospel of Luke about this man named Zacchaeus. Now, it's important for us to understand a couple of things. First of all, in relation to what I said last week about how Jesus is always siding with people who are foreigners or people who are outcast. We don't know for sure, but one might expect that Zacchaeus, based upon his name, and I'll get to that meaning of that in a minute, was a Jew. But in any case, what we know is that he was a tax collector, and he was rich. Well, why was he rich? Tax collectors were rich, not just because they got paid well. They would go about the Roman Empire and collect people's taxes. But let's just use it in modern terms. Let's say they came and they said to you, you know, you owe, you say that you figured it out, and you know that you owe 3,000 in taxes, and they say, no, you owe 4,000. And you argue back and forth with them, no, I owe 3,000. He says, well, I'm going to throw you in jail if you don't give me 4,000. What are you going to do? You know, if you live in Jericho, you're going to walk all the way to Rome and appeal to Caesar that you don't owe that many taxes? No, you're going to pay the 4,000. He returns the 3,000 you owe and he keeps 1,000 for himself. So he was stealing. That's why he was rich. And if, in fact, he was a Jew, it's a double strike against him, because not only is he collecting your taxes in Jericho and the area of, you know, nearby Jerusalem, not only is he collecting your taxes, which nobody likes to pay their tax bill, but he's doing it to go and fund the Roman army that's occupying your territory. And so if he's a Jew, he's a traitor, in addition to being a thief. So again, Jesus uses as an example someone who is an outcast, someone who is despised. That's why we hear them say, look at Jesus here having a meal with a sinner. It was taboo for a good Jew to do that. But Zacchaeus' name, it comes from the root Zaka, which means to atone. And we see in this story about how Zacchaeus is atoned from his sins. Now, to be atoned means essentially to be repaired, to be restored. Specifically, when we use it in biblical terms, we're talking about usually a restoration and a reparation of our relationship with God. And so today, in this story of Zacchaeus, we hear not only how Zacchaeus is atoned, but also how we are atoned, how we receive atonement, how we receive reparation. Another word that we might use for this, it's different, technically speaking. But we often think about this in the same way as the word salvation. How are we saved? How are we healed? That's what the term salvation really means, is how are we healed? How are we restored? And we see constantly, again and again, in the Holy Scriptures, what I try to plant in your minds, because I think it's the only way that we can properly understand salvation or atonement. We receive salvation like we would receive an inheritance. And an inheritance is something that fundamentally you can never earn. Someone gave it to you, like your parents, is the way we normally receive an inheritance. It was their money. It was their work. And they decided to give it to you out of the goodness of their hearts. You can never say you earned your inheritance. Even if you did work for your parents, and they made you do chores and so forth, think about especially those of us who now have become parents, how much more we have to do for our children. So it's even we children do so little for our parents. We can only do so little for our parents, maybe until they get old. But you can never earn your inheritance, but what you can do is you can lose it. So, you know, your parents may see, well, my son goes down to Kansas Star Casino every time he gets his paycheck and he blows it, so I'm not going to give him any money because I don't want him going down to Kansas Star and wasting the money at the casino. So the parent can withhold the inheritance. So again, it's not ours to earn, but it is ours to potentially lose or to blow on prodigal living, as we'll hear in a couple of weeks. But what we learn in this story of Zacchaeus is this concept, because what we see is that Zacchaeus is first restored by Jesus alone. When Jesus sees Zacchaeus trying to find him, he tells him, "Come down and let me go to your house." So Jesus initiates. It was a gift that Jesus gave Zacchaeus, a gift he didn't have to give, but a gift that he chose to give Zacchaeus. And we hear this, you'll hear it if you have the house blessing prayer. I can't remember the exact words. You'd think after hundreds of times of me doing it, I'd remember it. But it talks about just as salvation came to the household of Zacchaeus when Jesus visited him, so let your presence come into this household and save those who dwell herein. That's the gist of the prayer. So the salvation comes because Jesus visited the house. But that wasn't finished. Zacchaeus could have lost the gift that Jesus gave him. He could have blown the inheritance that Jesus gave him, but he didn't. What did he do? He did something with it. He provided that same grace and mercy that Jesus gave him. He went out and he gave that half of his goods to the poor. And if he had robbed anyone, he restored to them fourfold. Gave him four times as much as he stole from them. And so, brothers and sisters, we are reminded today that the salvation that God gives us, it is His gift to us. But at the same time, we have to do something with that gift. And to prove my point, if you read after the story of Zacchaeus, what do you hear immediately? Jesus goes into a parable. And he talks about giving a mina to three different people, how a master had entrusted three different servants with a mina. It was money back at the time. And he went away for a while. And he came back to check up on these servants. One of them said, "Master, I took this mina that you had, and I went and I earned 10 minas with it." And Jesus says in the parable, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I will give you 10 cities to rule over." Another man says, "Master, I took this one mina and I gained 5 with it." He says, "Well done. I'll give you 5 cities to rule over." The third guy says, "Master, I know that you're cruel. I know you're austere. And so I decided just to bury the mina and give it back to you when you came." And Jesus says, the master says, "Get out of my sight. Why didn't you do anything with what I gave you?" It's the same thing that Jesus tells us. We will never earn salvation. We'll never earn our inheritance. But we can blow it. We can lose it. How do we lose it? We lose it by saying, "Yeah, I'm saved. I'm good. Thank you, God, for your mercy." End of the story. If that's what we do, when we see our Lord Jesus Christ on the judgment day, He's going to say, "Get out of my sight. Why didn't you do anything with the grace and the mercy that I gave you?" What we should do, brothers and sisters, is what those servants did. Zacchaeus, the man that made 10 minas, the man that made 5 minas. We take the grace and the mercy and the love that God has given us, and we go and we spread that and we share it to those in this world who are in need of God's grace and love and mercy. And if we do that, we'll hear what Zacchaeus heard. Today salvation has come to this household. We will hear what those servants who gained the minas heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. To our good and loving God be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Thus the faithful pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them. Lord.